In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. There are many legends about the early saints of the church. And in these legends, there is one saint who is named Saint Celadonius. You probably have never heard the name Saint Celadonius. He is attributed with having found the church in the city in southern France of Nîmes. It was a Roman city at the time, and supposedly Celadonius was martyred during the reign of Nero. And there really is not much more that we know about this saint. We don't even really know if anything about him was actually true, including his name. But this name, Saint Celadonius, is the name that Christian tradition has given to the blind man who was healed in today's gospel reading. Now, here's a reality about this story. Saint Celadonius, martyr and founder of the church at Nîmes, probably was not true. It could be, we just don't know. But often what happens when people do not know the whole story, they like to fill in the details to make it a little more interesting. I've heard this as a criticism of the new movie, which I have not seen, about Noah. Actually, the quote I read the other day of a criticism was, it's, quote, not historically accurate. Which might be a sermon for another day. But of course, the story in the movie is not accurate to the Bible. Because here you are taking a 3-page story and you're trying to adapt it to a full-length feature film. I mean, did we learn nothing from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? But we have this tendency. And people like to fill in details when we don't know what is happening. And it does make me wonder. It makes me wonder about the blind man. There's this extra legend about him, but what we actually know about him, the entirety of what we know about this blind man, is what is contained in the gospel story. And it makes me wonder how much there is about him. It's a fairly long gospel reading, but it's really only a short vignette of his life. It's only this small time that his life and Jesus' life intersected. But we don't really know much else about him. We don't actually know his name. We don't know his social class. We don't know his level of education. We do know our few details. We know he was Jewish. We know he was blind. We know that he was an adult, but young enough to have 2 living parents. And that's about it. We can also infer a lot of things about this man. We can imagine that his life was very difficult. Because of his blindness, he had to take to begging. And there was a stigma attached to his blindness. Disabilities were seen at that time as being attributed to sin. And it wasn't just a few people that thought this. Even Jesus' disciples began with the presumption. Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? So even Jesus' followers had this assumption. Now, the interesting thing about this story is that as soon as they ask the question, Jesus rebuffs it. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. And without a doubt, that is exactly what happened. God's works were revealed in the blind man. Now you would think, after he was healed, he can see, things were better. You would think that people would have been amazed. But something different happened. No one believed. Everyone, even though they saw that this man was healed from his blindness, everyone refused to see God's grace, even though it was right in front of them. The Pharisees rejected the miracle. They said it was even somebody else. They'd switched places. The blind man's parents, out of fear of being rejected, would not stand up for him. They said, well, he's an adult. Let him talk for himself. And even the people of his town drove him out of fear. And this so often happens. When God does something, human beings are so often blind to God's work. People pass it off as coincidence. They just don't see it. Or they might even, like the Pharisees, say it was a work of evil. But people's reaction is not the most amazing part about this story. It's, in fact, that's somewhat predictable. What is really amazing about this story is the blind man himself. What's really amazing is that God's work was not just the healing. That was amazing in itself, but God's work was the spiritual evolution that happened in the blind man. Here he is begging, certainly overhearing this conversation about him as if he's not there. And then Jesus just tells him, here, take this mud, I'll spit on the ground, put it on your eyes and go to the pool and wash it off. And certainly the blind man probably figured, well, he stood up for me. I mean, hey, why not? Can't hurt. Not going to make me any more blind. And then when he received his sight, he immediately knew that he had received God's grace. He can't explain it, but he knows that God is at work. And then, when the authorities pressed him, he decided, well, maybe, if nothing else, Jesus is a prophet. I mean, after all, miracles were the works of prophets in the scripture. But then they brought him back, and they hassled the guy a little more, and he says, well, you know, I don't know whether this guy's a sinner or not, but I'm pretty sure if he wasn't from God, he's not going to perform a miracle. So then he goes from why not to a prophet. Now he's saying Jesus must be from God. And then he was driven out. And finally, at the very end of the story, Jesus talks to the man who had been blind. And he says that he is the Son of Man. And the blind man, knowing that he had received grace, decided this man who healed him must be telling the truth. And he confesses that Jesus is divine. Now still, the Pharisees are cynics. They won't be convinced. They heard Jesus talking. They're like, well, he clearly can't be talking about the enlightened us. Even after they had plainly seen God at work, they refused to believe. And this is where Jesus says, I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. So what about us? We have all received grace in some form or another. And can you see where God has given you grace in your life? There are times when grace is very easy to see. Like the blind man, there's clearly a miracle. He was blind before, and now he can see. It's obvious. And there are times in our lives, although they are rare, that we can see that a prayer was answered exactly as we asked. But there are other times that grace is not as easy to see, because life has made us jaded. And because we are afraid of being hurt, we don't want to trust. And so we put up a wall, and we decide maybe that wasn't really grace. And then when God gives grace to us, it's also easy to pass it off, like the people of the village. I'm just imagining it, or it's just coincidence, or this is just too good to be true. And the reality is that grace is so abundant, very often it is hard to see. Maybe you've had a time where, say, a loved one is supposed to show up but is running late. And you might get concerned, and so you pray, please bring them home safely. And they arrive. Now, after they arrive, do you thank God? Or do you forget that your prayer had just been answered? Or maybe there are those things that we pray for every Sunday, for healing for the sick. And we just go about our day. They do happen. The sick are healed. But sometimes I don't think about it, and sometimes I just look at this and I say, well, it is what it is, and I don't think that God actually, or I don't give God the credit for actually answering the prayers. Or maybe, like the blind man, we got something so good and we did not even ask for it. And when that happens, are we able to see God in that moment when we were not expecting grace? St. Paul tells us in this short reading from Ephesians, once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord, you are light. As we receive grace, we must open our eyes and see God's hand at work. And whether we realize it or not, God is at work everywhere, even in the most unexpected places and through the most unexpected people. The gospel compels us to see that God is at work, even if we do not know the full story, even if we don't know the details. We know that God is still doing something. And even when we do not believe that we deserve that grace, like the blind man who probably thought he was a sinner, even when we are wearied by the changes and chances of this mortal life, like probably were the Pharisees, or even when we are not expecting grace, let us not be blind, but let us see. And let us see that God's work is revealed in us and that grace is ever present in our lives. Amen.